This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. You've been asked to interview for a job that you really want. Congratulations. What should you do next? Thaddeus B. Dunn is here to talk about how to prepare for a job interview. He's the founder of Right Fit Recruiting. Thaddeus's company serves healthcare organizations, nonprofits, financial institutions, and government agencies. He joins us from Buffalo, New York. Well, Thaddeus, here's where I want to start. Why do you need to prepare at all for a job interview?
Well, it's really good to prepare for job interviews so that they know that you are prepared, that you're engaged, and that also you're confident.
Well, but so many people just wing it. Why is that not a good idea?
That's not a good idea because that doesn't separate you from the other people who just wing it, as you just mentioned. It's better to be prepared.
And when you walk in, what is your job as the candidate? Are you there just to answer the employer's questions?
Oh, no, not at all, Richard. And that's a great question. So I have some must-dos. For example, I always say, do your homework. And by that, I want you to know the person, the interviewer's name that you're going to be interviewing with and their responsibility at the job. Because maybe later on during the conversation, during the interview, you can draw on some commonalities that you may have, and that may be useful. So know the name of the person that's going to be interviewing you. The second thing I would say that you should do is review the company's website. Take a look at the company's website and see if it's inviting, if it's diverse, if it's inclusive, if it's a place that you can see yourself working at long term. Then third, I would say understand the organization's mission and values. See if the organization's mission and value aligns with what you believe. You're more apt to do a better job.
Well, let's break that down. Those are great tips. Now, I'd love the idea of knowing who you're going to meet with. Some people actually struggle with this. How do you find out the names of the people who you're going to be interviewing with?
So usually you will receive like an email, and then the email will have the people that you're going to be meeting with. And so what I always do is I go to LinkedIn as my first defense, and I see if I can connect with that person prior to the interview. And then that way I find out what their responsibilities are. And also, it's no harm in doing a Google search to see if you can find out something exciting about that individual. Maybe they were promoted or that type of thing, and what they've done, what's have been some of their responsibilities on the job.
And sometimes you get an invitation to an interview, and it may not actually indicate who you're going to be talking with. What's your best advice in that situation, Thaddeus, for finding out who's going to be in the room, whether it's virtual or in person?
Yeah, so one of the things that you can do is, on that one, would be to know then about the company and the organization and the role that you're there to talk to the interviewer about. So you can just kind of like shift it a little bit. Just know the company then and what the responsibilities are, what they do.
I love your suggestion of actually connecting with someone who you will be interviewing with, who's been identified on, and connecting with them on LinkedIn. How do you recommend doing that? What is the best way to approach an interviewer that you're going to be meeting in a few days and ask to connect with them on LinkedIn?
Yeah, just send a friendly email them, you know, friendly saying, "Hey, I'd like to connect with you. My name is, for example, Thaddeus Dunn, and I'm scheduled to interview with you on, let's say, Monday. I'd like to connect with you." So that would be, I think, the best way to do it.
And what does someone who gets an invitation like that think? How does that help distinguish you from the other candidates the interviewer might be meeting with?
Well, I think it kind of sets you apart that they notice, they know who you are. They know maybe your background, your responsibilities, if it's on LinkedIn. So it kind of gives them like an advance, like notice of who you are, what your responsibilities are. Besides the resume, you know, they can actually take a look at your LinkedIn profile to see, you know, to see what you're about.
You recommended looking at the company website and paying attention to the mission and values of an organization. You're a recruiter, Thaddeus. You talk to candidates all the time. When you meet with applicants who have done that, how do they demonstrate that they've done that kind of homework? And how does that help them as a candidate in an interview with a recruiter like you?
So what I do as a recruiter is I always do mock interviews with the candidate because I want them to present themselves in the best light the first time, because you only get one time to make a first impression. So one of the things I also tell them to do is take a look at the website and look at Google's. You can Google search the organization and take a look at some of the recent articles and let the interviewer know that, hey, I took the liberty of not only taking a look at the website, but I also Googled the company. And if you find something, let's say, for example, that the company may be changing directions, you may kind of like mention some of those things. I think that's going to set you apart from someone else who maybe perhaps did not do the homework on the company. Hopefully that answers the question.
Absolutely. And when you're doing this research and when you're helping candidates as a recruiter that you're going to present to employers for open positions, how much time do you recommend to the candidates you work with that they spend on research? Is this, say, an hour or two, or what's a good amount of time to invest?
I would say I never really give like a number. It's what you feel comfortable and confident. So what I do is I suggest that you research that company until you're confident that you know enough about that company that you may even know it a little bit better than the person interviewing you.
And when you do this research, how do you recommend to a candidate that they demonstrate that they've done this homework in an interview? You mentioned perhaps referring to articles, but what are some other steps that an applicant can take to show that they've done their homework to an interviewer?
Right. So that's a great question. So you want to do a deep dive. You want to find out some of the programs that, say, for example, that they may offer, some of the leaders you may want to mention. You want to take a look at that. And so, again, to my answer to the earlier question was, what you have to do is research the company, research the organization, and then kind of like give them feedback on what you've learned about the organization. And don't be afraid to say, hey, I've done the homework. I found out that, you know, the company's moving in a different direction. By the way, I have a specific skill that I believe that you guys can use from day one.
Another step I know that you recommend to the candidates you work with to get ready for a job interview is to study the job description. Why is this important, Thaddeus?
Richard, that's another good question, to study the job description, because you would know the requirements required and also the skill set that it's going to take in order for you to move forward with this opportunity. Can you imagine if you go for an interview, right, and you have not fully understood the responsibilities? And for example, that job required you to have certifications or even a license was required. And then during the interview, one of the interviewers asked, oh, so are you certified? And then if you say no, then it's like, okay, then you wasted their time. And that's not a good thing. So you want to make sure that you fully understand the responsibilities and the requirements before you even accept an interview.
In addition to making sure that you're qualified for the job when you study the job description, how do you recommend applying what you learn to the conversation with the interviewer? What tips do you give the candidates you prepare?
Yeah, so I always tell them to be prepared, as I said earlier, to discuss at least three or more specific successes that you may have had. Don't be afraid to mention that, to kind of like pat yourself on the back. But you should be specific what they were. And so be intentional when you speak as well. Use words like, for example, if you were a manager, say that I manage people, or that I was, I saw the oversight of the auditing department or the finance department. I organized, I created. And notice that I'm using a lot of words that past tense, That kind of like lets them know that you've done this already. So you don't have to be trained on day one, or the learning curve may not be all that great, because they want someone to come in there, I think, knowing what the responsibilities are and knowing how to do the job successfully. After all, that you're in the interview for a reason. They thought that you were the top of the bunch. And so that's why you're there. So now you have to be able to articulate that, your strengths, your skill set.
Terrific. Well, Thaddeus, we're going to take a quick break. And so stay with us. When we come back, Thaddeus B. Dunn will continue to share his advice on how to prepare for a job interview. A great resume shows you what you want and what you offer. Does your resume do this? Find out what the experts think. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. One of the writers at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. In just 2 business days, you'll find out how you can make your resume better on your own. Or you can hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Max List studio. I'm talking with Thaddeus B. Dunn. He's the founder of Right Fit Recruiting. Thaddeus's company serves healthcare organizations, nonprofits, financial institutions, and government agencies. And he joins us from Buffalo, New York. Now, Thaddeus, before the break, we're talking about how to prepare for a job interview. And in at the end of the first segment, you talked about the importance of sharing examples of success and especially paying attention to the language that you use. Do you recommend practicing these stories, these examples before an interview?
Oh, absolutely. I do recommend that so that you can be on target and be, like I said, always be prepared. And by practicing, you know, that makes it perfect, I believe. But you don't want to sound rehearsed, right? So I believe that a resume, you know, Mac, should tell your story, your personal story. So, yeah. So talk about those achievements. Don't be afraid. Talk about some of those responsibilities that you had. So that they can better understand. You have to remember, they don't really know you just on paper. But when you get before someone, that means that you should be really proud of yourself. You successfully, you know, ran through the gate, and now you have an audience, by the way, who hopefully they'll hire you.
Any advice, Thaddeus, about how to choose those stories? Do you look for connections with the job description, for example, or what? Because particularly if you're mid-career, you probably have dozens of examples you can draw on. How do you create a short list?
So what I normally do is I suggest to candidates to take a look at the job description and, you know, the qualifications and also like the skill set. So I would pick like maybe 3 or 4 that's absolutely required of the job, right? So if it's finance, if it's managing people. So you want to talk about, you know, hey, I managed a team between 5 and 20 people. I was able to develop them, my team, to grow my team. We had some hiccups. Don't be afraid to be honest. And if it was challenging, say it was challenging. I worked with this, you know, tell a story. If you were able to develop someone that maybe was struggling, and that would show them that, you know what, he has what it takes or she has what it takes to grow people as well, to grow a team.
When practicing your stories in advance of an interview, how do you recommend doing that? Should you talk to a mirror with a colleague? What have you seen work best?
So if you don't have a recruiter to talk to or someone at home, I would say then, you know what, stand before a mirror or walk up and down your hall, your kitchen, your living room, and then kind of practice what you're gonna be saying. That's how we do. But if you can get a person to listen to you and to critique you, then that would probably be the best, I think.
What kind of feedback should you look for if you do work with someone and you ask them to critique you? What is most helpful?
I think the person who's critiquing you should be honest. They should tell you, hey, you know what? You left this out. Or, you know what? You didn't answer the question fully. That's really important to answer the question fully.
Okay, so you're recommending practicing not only telling your story, but perhaps looking at some likely questions that you're going to get as well.
That's right. You should always be prepared to ask you know, questions from the interviewer. Like, for example, they may say to you, I was dealing with the candidate and she said, you know, I said the same thing twice. And then they asked me to please elaborate. And she said, what did that mean, Daddy? And I said, that meant that you did not answer the question.
Well, good. And do you have how do you recommend people identify likely questions that they need to get ready for?
So some of them are really like the basic questions you may want to ask. Like, for example, is this a new position? What would my responsibilities be? Because sometimes it's not on paper. Ask them, what are some of the challenges that this position may warrant, you know, if you're hired. So, and then ask them, I always tell people, ask them, when you looked at my resume and you decided to bring me in for an interview, what was it about my resume that excited you or made you interested in bringing me in for this particular role? And what that does, Mac, is it puts the ownership back on them. So now they have to kind of think, why did I want to meet this person in the first place? What were some of the skill sets that I felt that this candidate was going to bring to the table, to my team or to my department or to the organization as a whole?
In your experience, Thaddeus, do most candidates walk in with a set of questions that they're going to ask employers, or do they just say no when they are asked if they have any questions?
Yeah, in my opinion, that I always tell my candidates to please have at least 3 to 5 questions. So my experience, and even if I don't know you, the conversations that we're having, I think everyone kind of knows that you should have some questions. It should not always be one-sided, that conversation. You have to remember, too, that the interviewer is also nervous. So they're trying to find out about you, and then they also want you to ask questions about them, I believe. Like, for example, why do you stay? Why do you come every day to work? So that those are really important questions. It puts the only, so that way it's a two-way street dialogue.
I'm so glad you brought up the fact that many interviewers are nervous, because I think a lot of candidates don't see that, do they, Thaddeus?
They don't. So they kind of see them, honestly, like, okay, you're the judge. You're judging me from the time that I walked in. You don't really know me. You size me up for my clothes that I'm wearing to whatever, right? So, yeah, they're nervous. You know, the interviewer is nervous as well. And honestly, sometimes an icebreaker is kind of like good too. And that's why I go back to like going back to the website, trying to connect with them and trying to find something that maybe that you share something in common with that individual. You'll be surprised. Maybe not in the beginning of the interview, but you may have an opportunity to say, hey, I noticed that you lived in Houston. Guess what? I lived in Houston at one point as well. I worked for blah, blah, blah. So that's a conversation that, oh yeah, how did you like it? You know, then you can go on to develop almost like, you know, a relationship.
And how does building that kind of connection, that rapport, help you as a candidate?
I think it does wonders. What it does is that it's shared common experiences, I think, shared common places, perhaps. It just kind of connects us. I think that we are all people who like to have shared commonalities, I think. Because at the end of the day, I really feel that we are more alike than unlike.
Speaking of questions, one of your recommendations to the candidates you work with is to be ready for uncomfortable questions. What kind of uncomfortable questions do you have in mind, Thaddeus?
So, for example, if there are gaps in your resume, you should be prepared to be honest about some of those gaps. For example, today I believe that we realize that some of our parents are aging, and so you may have to actually take off some time to tend for that elderly parent. Or it could be a family illness. Be honest about that. If that illness, that family illness, or maybe your own personal illness has caused you to have a gap in, you know, in your work history, be honest about it.
Why do employers ask about gaps in work history?
Because they want to make sure that you're not going to just start working with them and then just leave. They want someone that's going to be reliable, dependable. You know, because then if you leave, like let's say within like a year or two, it's a lot of money that was invested in you. And so then therefore, they have to start from scratch, to be honest, to start looking for another candidate to replace you. So they want someone that's going to be there for the long haul. And oftentimes, you know, Mac, they may ask you, so what is your 5-year goal? You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Hopefully you know, you believe in the mission and in the value, and you can honestly say, I see myself growing. I see myself here at this organization growing being a responsible person, responsible leader, and just development. So staying.
And what should you say if you're not sure, if you think you might be in that job just for a year or two, or you're uncertain about making a 5-year commitment?
So I just think that question, like 5 years, is just a number to me. So when you're in the job and you're in the position, I think what they really want you to say is that you're going to learn, you know, you're going to contribute to the team, to the organization, you're going to give it 100%. I think that's what they're looking for versus like a whole number, like 5 years, where do you see yourself? Hopefully in your mind, you kind of know where you can see yourself within that organization.
We're talking today about how to prepare for a job interview, but one piece of advice you recommend to all your clients is to write a thank you note after the interview. Why is it important to plan for this, Thaddeus, and to do it at all?
I know some people may say that it's old-fashioned and it's outdated, the thank you note, thank you email. Back in the day, you would put the letter in the mail, right? Right after the interview. But today we have emails, right? So I think that really separates you from other candidates who did not take the time to thank the individuals for their time of interviewing you. That separates you from a lot of times I ask candidates, have you ever written a thank you note? And believe it or not, many of them say, no. I just went to the interview and I just waited to see if I was hired or not. But that's going to separate you. That thank you kind of like tells, in my opinion, it tells the interviewer that, hey, this person understands that my time was valuable. You know, they're courteous, they're professional, they're polite. And that's something that I believe that everyone should do after an interview. And right away, if you can, the sooner the better, I believe. It just separates you, Mac, from any other candidate who may not take the time to do that.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Thaddeus. Now, tell us, what's next for you?
So I've been in the human resources business for about 20 years, and I've owned my own company for about 12 years, working with executive leaders and mid-management. And so now what I've been doing a lot, honestly, is a lot of consulting. It has given me the opportunity to, this job has given me a lot of opportunity to identify, to coach, and present top talent to various organizations, as well as industries across the nation. And so I've also been interested of late with diversity inclusion. That has been something that has been kind of close to me. I want to see a world, hopefully everyone does, where there's even play, where equity is important. And when I do talk to groups about diversity and inclusion, I always say that we must include equity in that as well. Because when you do that, Mac, when it's equity there, you don't have to worry about someone's ethnic background or their age or their race, right? Just the person doing the job. So it's like an even, it's a fair playground, so to speak, if you will.
Well, that's terrific, Thaddeus. I know listeners can learn more about you and your services and your work by visiting your website. That's rightfitrecruiting.net. And I also know that you invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. And if they do reach out to you, I hope they will mention they heard you on the show. Now, Thaddeus, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to prepare for a job interview?
I guess one of the takeaways that you must remember as a candidate, you must tell your story. No one can better tell your story than you. So here's a great opportunity. If you are meeting with a team, they're interested in you. Think of it as, wow, it's a privilege, right? That I'm before this group of people who are going to like ask me questions about my qualifications. You only get one shot. So I think that you should be prepared. If you are prepared, then you have a high possibility of getting hired and, you know, letting your light shine and letting your skill set shine as well.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Madeline Mann. She's an HR and recruiting leader whose career coaching programs have helped thousands. Madeline also hosts the award-winning YouTube channel, Self-Made Millennial. After today's episode, you know how to prepare for a job interview. But what do you do when the interview starts? Join us next Wednesday when Madeline Mann and I talk about how to answer the most common job interview questions. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin-Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.